This is a People First Radio podcast.
This was me for 30 years. My identity, Kurt Petrovich, CBC News.
Our reporter Kurt Petrovich arrived just hours ago at the refugee camp in Kenya.
But reporting on suffering, disaster, and death took its toll. Until finally, one story broke me. Left me trapped in the prison of post-traumatic stress disorder.
I carry around the guilt of having sort of brought this into our house. You just want to punch something.
I try everything, including psychedelic therapy. No longer able to report full-time, I work on a book and find myself with some unusual fellow travelers. Four Mounties whose PTSD began one terrible night at YVR.
That was audio from the trailer for a documentary film called Lost on Arrival, Me, the Mounties, and PTSD. The me in the title is veteran CBC reporter Kurt Petrovich, a man familiar to many Canadians. For three decades, his radio and television reports have brought the country and the world into Canadian homes. But Kurt Petrovich, CBC News, has been silent for 2 years now, on medical leave while he struggles with debilitating PTSD. In Lost on Arrival, Me, the Mounties, and PTSD, Kurt tells the most difficult story of his life, his battle with post-traumatic stress disorder. The documentary captures Kurt's courageous efforts to rebuild himself from the inside out. It premieres Thursday, February the 9th, 2017, at 9 p.m. on CBC First Hand. I spoke with Helen Slinger, who co-produced, wrote, and directed the documentary. Helen, how did you come upon Kurt Petrovich's story in the first place, you might say, and how did it end up as a documentary film?
Kevin, I've known Kurt for a long time, but mostly by reputation. I would say I've known him professionally, but from a step or two away. I've watched his work for a very long time. Coincidentally, not so coincidentally maybe, his wife, Yvette Brand, is a researcher, a very good researcher for Bountiful Films, or at least she has been in the past. She's now back working full-time at the CBC as an online journalist. So I knew Kurt and Yvette as a couple, and I knew Kurt by reputation. And for a long time, I knew that he was pursuing the Jukansky story, the tasering of Robert Jukansky at Vancouver International Airport. So we really started talking about that first. And then, because I had some personal awareness that he was suffering from PTSD, we discussed very early on the fact that if we made a documentary at all, we would have to include that, I felt, in the documentary. I felt that made it a much stronger doc. And of course, what happened is that the PTSD thread is really, I would say, the dominant one in the documentary. And of course, the Mounties involved at YVR also suffer. And so does Robert Jukansky's wife. So that mental health thread became really the dominant one in the doc.
I was very moved by the documentary. I watched the screener, and I was stunned, I guess you might say, to see some of my own preconceived notions and judgments falling away. And this is especially about the RCMP officers, as you referred to, involved in the Jukansky death at YVR. What was your experience in creating Lost on Arrival?
It's interesting that you mention the change in your feelings about the Mounties. I think that's very important. I think one of the things that happens in this very fast-moving day and age is we're all processing so much information that I think we leap to judgment, and then if things get complicated, we tend to just leave it where it was. So if you felt badly for Robert Jukansky and his mother in that horrible video that you see of the incident at YVR, and then something happens to the Mounties, you don't really think about the Mounties again. You don't care about them so much. You kind of leave it where you leave your judgment where it was initially parked. You know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, and you kind of leave it there. So I'm happy to see that it opened your mind on this. It did the same thing for me, although by the time we got to the filming of the Mounties, of course, I had gone through with Kurt a lot of his research and his thinking about exactly what happened after the Jukansky affair, what the legal ramifications were for the Mounties. So I had followed that strand before I met them. So, but I have the same experience that you have still watching them on camera. It's the first time you see a human being and you realize that they're suffering too, whatever you think about what happened that night. So that was one of my experiences, is having my mind opened again differently. And I would say expansively in terms of how I try to look at social media, period, as I go. It was a good wake-up call around not leaping to judgment so fast. And I think we all try not to, but it's just so tempting. There's so much to process. So there was that. There was also just the experience of being quite intimately in the lives of a family who's suffering with PTSD. And, of course, it is the family. It's not simply the person who, as Kurt says, brought this into the house. It's the whole family. So that, for me, was quite a thing, too. It always is when you're filming with someone whose story is very personal. It's just both an amazing experience for which you are grateful and also a very difficult one because, of course, even if I hadn't known them beforehand, you get drawn into caring about these people. They're not simply characters in your documentary. They're people that you know and care about very much. So it was moving to me in a number of different ways. It was challenging intellectually, and it was, as I think they almost always are, challenging emotionally too.
How did the making of the documentary impact Kurt Petrovich and his family from your perspective?
I think that's a really interesting question, Kevin, because I'm not sure that we have the answer to that yet. And I think if you ask Kurt and Yvette, they would tell you that we don't have the answer to that yet. As I watched it go on, I saw how difficult it was for the whole family, starting with Kurt, for him to be as honest as he is emotionally in the documentary about what he'd gone through and was still going through. Was very difficult. And I think at the outset, we all kind of thought, when we did the very first interview with Kurt, which was in October of 2015, I think we thought by the time we got, a year on, that everything would be fine. Somehow I think we had even they had a naive understanding of PTSD to the extent of things are getting better, therefore you just hope that that's going to be what's happening. So I think there was that. I think that made it more difficult when Kurt hit some difficult times through the year. It was like, oh, my God, we're still filming. And because he's a terrific journalist, he wasn't going to say, no, you can't film this. He very much understood that the story was as much about him and his family and their struggle with PTSD as it was about the Mounties and what had happened to them. So he wasn't going to shut the camera out. He wasn't going to shut me out, but I knew from time to time that he regretted getting involved, that if he could, and I don't mean that I think he regrets it now, I don't think he does, but there were times I know that if he hadn't been the journalist he is, he would have simply said, no, that's enough. So it was very difficult, and he did talk to me a little bit on camera about that too, about how difficult it was. I know it was difficult for the two of them, because it just becomes one more, by the two of them, of course, I mean Kurt and his wife Yvette, it just becomes one more difficult thing about a mental illness to constantly be in front of you. It's one more reason why you can't kind of take a break from the illness, even when maybe normally you could, because you know that the crew's coming tomorrow to film something. So it was difficult. I think in the end, I feel, I guess maybe I hope, that it will be really good for them, as well as I think Kurt did a terrific thing. Because he's not an ordinary subject, if there's such a thing, an ordinary PTSD sufferer, it's a little bit off-center. He's a journalist, and even though, almost 30% of war correspondents are diagnosed with PTSD, at least some studies say that, it's still kind of unusual, and it's very unusual for a journalist to actually allow the cameras to be turned on them in that way. So I think it had all kinds of effects on them that we'll just be seeing what that impact is as we go ahead. I just really hope it's positive, and I believe it will be.
Yeah, and in your notes about the documentary, I'm just going to quote this. It says, "This documentary is a stunning departure in storytelling for a reporter who spent 30 years behind a detached professional mask." And I have to say, Helen, I was almost stunned, but I was very surprised to learn about Kurt Petrovich's struggle and then to see that it was so openly shared and really vividly presented in Lost on Arrival.
Kurt's not without ego, of course. I don't think anybody who does this kind of reporting is, but he hates it when I say what I'm about to say, which is that I am so proud of him that he could carry this forward, that he could be so honest. And it was from that very first interview I was surprised, because, as I've said, I've known him but only professionally for many years. And the Kurt that you have seen on TV and heard on the radio is the one that he presents pretty much to the rest of the world, too. Very, a little bit buttoned down, quite reserved, very private. And as soon as we began filming, I was trying to go carefully because of the PTSD, it was just absolutely clear that he was going to tell me everything he could. So, yeah, I think it's quite an amazing departure, is right. And he even looks differently now than he did then. He's grown a beard. He's really been, as much as a person possibly can, using this thing that's happened to him to really examine his life and to really figure out how to move forward with this illness and move forward productively. So I'm, once again, I almost hope he doesn't hear this, Kevin, because I'll say the word again. I am so proud of him and of Yvette and the kids, too.
This is People First Radio, coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM from Nanaimo. I'm Kevin. The driven, hard-drinking, get-the-story-at-all-costs reporter is a persistent stereotype in our culture, especially within journalism, where colleagues tend to look askance at the rare few who admit mental health problems. There's also a feeling common among journalists that they couldn't possibly have PTSD because they're just observers. But one study shows the lifetime prevalence of PTSD in war journalists as 28.6%, 3.5 times higher than that of the general population. When CBC reporter Kurt Petrovich was first diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, he didn't initially accept the diagnosis. He reasoned, "Why would I have PTSD? I've never fought in a war. I'm just a reporter." In Lost on Arrival, Me, the Mounties, and PTSD, Kurt tells the most difficult story of his life, his battle with post-traumatic stress disorder. The documentary captures Kurt's courageous efforts to rebuild himself from the inside out. I spoke with Helen Slinger, who co-produced, wrote, and directed the documentary. Here's the rest of that conversation. When and where will Lost on Arrival be broadcast, and will it eventually be available for viewing online and or purchasing?
It will be broadcast for the first time on CBC television, wherever you are, whatever that channel is, but it'll be CBC television. The name of the documentary strand is Firsthand, and it premieres at 9 o'clock on February the 9th, Thursday night, February the 9th. And yes, it will be available after that. It also runs again on the news network over the weekend. I think it has two or three airings, so it's possible to find those in your listings. It will be then online on cbc.ca. So if you go to Firsthand and Google Lost on Arrival, you'll quickly come to the website that has both, that will have both the documentary sitting on it and also lots of other, I think, fairly useful information about PTSD.
Your partnership with Maureen Palmer as Bountiful Films was formed in 2000, and I visited the website. I've been there before, Helen, but I visited it again this morning. The website quotes author Carol Shields in describing the work that you're doing as, quote, shortening the distance between what is privately felt and universally known. I'm very intrigued by your company. I'm wondering if you could tell me a little more about Bountiful Films.
Bountiful, as you say, was formed in 2000, and it was, Maureen and I knew each other a little bit. We wanted to make a film about a woman who had come to our attention who had fled the polygamous group in Bountiful, B.C., with her six kids. And so we wanted to do the documentary Leaving Bountiful is what it turned out to be. A documentary on her, but looking at what happened to people inside that organization by using, or that organization, some people call it a cult, I'll simply call it a community, I think. So it was a way of telling a bigger story with a very interesting character. So that's where we started out. And then after we made that one, we just kept going because we both discovered, as we continue to discover over the years, how very aligned our the kind of journalism that we want to do is and how very aligned our values are. So after that, we did a documentary called Alexandra's Echo, which is about Alexandra Morton, the wild salmon advocate. Again, that was the same thing. We were looking at the effects of industrial aquaculture on the BC coast through one character. The kind of story that's more, it's more a more accessible way into a big story for a lot of people to do it in a character-driven kind of way. And as you know, we've gone on to make a number of documentaries that are, you know, about mental health issues, about big issues in our society, and always going in through character.
Two of your Bountiful Films projects are nominated for Best Documentary at this year's Canadian Screen Awards, and I'm not surprised to hear that. It's coming up on March the 12th, 2017. Can you tell me a bit about Wasted? And the other title that's been nominated is Hold Your Fire.
Wasted is a documentary that Maureen directed, and it has some similarities to the work on Lost on Arrival, in that this is somebody that she knew, a documentary about somebody that she knew well, but in this case, very, very well. It's her life partner, Mike Pond, who, when Maureen met him, he had been just sober for a year after a really rocky road through alcohol addiction. And so she began filming with him. He's also a psychotherapist. So she began filming with him around new alcohol treatments, new addiction treatments, really, that they had found as they were researching a book. So as they were researching the book, they realized there was so much that hasn't yet been mainstreamed that could be done besides simply the AA abstinence model. So they started making that film, and it turned out to be spectacularly interesting, partly because, unfortunately, Mike had a relapse while they were filming. So it became a really urgent kind of piece where, you know, Maureen and Mike were looking at not simply different treatments in the abstract, but they were looking at treatments for this very beloved character, this very beloved person in the doc. So that's Wasted. It's a terrific documentary. And Maureen and I have said, since I directed the other one, Maureen and I have honestly said that we don't care which documentary wins because the heart and soul went into both of them. Hold Your Fire is a documentary about police interactions with the mentally ill. And nobody in my family, thank heavens, is in the documentary. But like all the things, work that we do, I did get to know families who have lost loved ones because they interacted with the police at the wrong time when they were quite florid. And police went in with a command and control kind of attitude, and the mentally ill person died. One of the characters that a lot of British Columbians will know was David Boyd, whom I never met, but I got to know his father quite well. David was on Granville Street in the middle of a very bad bipolar incident when police came and thought he was being dangerous, and he ended up dying in that encounter. So that was what that was. Hold Your Fire looks at different ways of coping with these interactions. It's not completely unsympathetic to police in the sense that what it looks at is the big systemic changes that need to be made. And once again, it looks through these characters that you really do get to know through their families, these people who have died in these horrendous incidents. And yeah, so they're both documentaries that we feel very good about. They're back to basically our core values of trying to make a difference, telling these character-based stories so that people can be interested in them, can watch them, when really what we're trying to do is point to large changes in society that are worth considering.
Helen Slinger, thank you very much for speaking with me. And I want to wish you good luck at the Canadian Screen Awards, but I guess I should say good luck to both you and Maureen, and I'm glad you have an agreement that it doesn't matter which of the two wins, because I feel pretty good about the bountiful films that I've seen so far, and I can see why you've been nominated.
Well, thank you, Kevin, very much. And it is not just an agreement. It's just heartfelt. We both feel very happy. So you can wish bountiful films good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kevin, very much. Appreciate your time.
Lost on Arrival, Me, The Mounties, and PTSD premieres Thursday, February 9th, 2017 at 9 p.m. on CBC First Hand. Helen Slinger co-produced, wrote, and directed the documentary. Bountiful Films is a Vancouver-based company specializing in documentaries that move the conversation forward on today's most compelling issues through gripping storytelling. You can find them online at bountiful.ca.
People First Radio is a community media project of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast partners. Listen to our podcast online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.